And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
The Muslim population of England has passed the 3 million mark for the first time, according to estimates prepared by Whitehall. They said that Muslims are the fastest growing faith group in the country, while allegiance to Christianity continues to decline. The figures were produced by the Office for National Statistics as part of a research project to try for the first time to make regular assessments of the size of different ethnic and religious groups. Until now, religious and ethnic minority populations could only be gauged only once a decade using the results of the full-scale 10-yearly national census. According to the ONS assessment, Christians continue to decline in number, but the drop in allegiance to Christianity may be slowing. Among other faith groups, the share of Hindus in the population has climbed slightly, while the proportion of Sikhs has fallen by a similar small amount. The scale of the Jewish and Buddhist shares of the population have remained stable, the report said. The share of people who say they have no religion at all, or who not discuss their faith, has risen to almost a third of the English population, an increase almost certainly as a result of the fall-off in Christian belief. The ONS also estimated that the proportion of people in England who say they follow a religion other than a major faith more than trebled between 2011 and 2016. The increase may be a result of people searching for new beliefs after becoming disillusioned with Christianity. The new figures suggest that in 2016, 5 years after the 2011 national census, there were 3,138,000 Muslims in England and Wales, up by more than 400,000 from 2.7 million over the past 5 years. This was an increase of roughly 16%. In England alone, the ONS estimate said that there were 3,092,000 Muslims in 2016. As a share of the population of England, the assessment indicated that the Muslim faith group made up 5.6% in 2016 against a 4.7% in 2011. The research report said there is a decline for the Christian group, though it remains the largest group in England. The lower proportion of the population in the Christian group is counteracted by higher proportions of all the other groups, with the largest increases seen for the Muslim, none or not stated, and other faith groups. It added that statisticians cannot yet pinpoint the reasons for the growth in the Muslim population and the decline of Christianity. With the breakdown by any other characteristics, for example by age or sex, we cannot draw any conclusions about what causes these differences, the report said. The speed of increase in the Muslim population, estimated by the new research, appears to match that detected by national censuses. In 2001, the census said Muslims made up 3% of the numbers in England and Wales. The decline in Christianity had been widely charted, not least by the churches themselves in their tallies of congregations. The 2011 census recorded 33.2 million people in England and Wales who had declared themselves as Christian, but according to the new estimates, this has fallen to 32,731,000 by 2016. The 2016 research said Christian share of the population in England alone dropped from 59.6% to 56.6%. However, since evidence from censuses said the Christian population in England and Wales fell by 12 percentage points between 2001 and 2011, the decline of Christian faith may be slowing. The new assessment suggested that many more people are adherents of minor faiths than were reported by the 2011 census. It said that the new methods, based on the annual population survey, carried out among more than 300,000 people each year, found that 1.5% of the population regard themselves as followers of small faith groups, compared to 0.4% recorded by the census. Nearly a third of the population, 32.8%, either had no religion or would not discuss their faith in 2016, the report said, against 31.9% who were of no faith or would not say in the 2011 census. The report said the new assessments, which takes in results from 3 years of the annual population survey between 2014 and 2016, were not detailed enough to provide an accurate picture of the size of ethnic and religious groups in local areas. But it said that at the national level, it is reasonable to assume some insight can be found in comparing the 2011 census results for England and Wales to those produced by our new method. It said, "This is the first time that illustrative estimates of population by religion have been produced using this method." The report added that there were a number of potential gaps in the existing evidence base, including in the availability of up-to-date estimates of the size of the different religious populations. The most recent official estimates come from the 2011 census. A comparison of the 2001 census with the 2011 census showed that the number of people identifying with the different religious groups changed considerably over this period, so there is a need to consider how populations may change between censuses. While the ONS said the new estimates could not be used to assess local populations, the 2011 census report said that Muslims tended to be concentrated in particular areas of England. In over half of local authorities, the proportion of the population were Muslim was under 1%. In over three-quarters of the areas, it was under 6%. The areas with the highest proportion of Muslims were in London, with the boroughs of Tower Hamlets and Newham having 34.5% and 32%, respectively. There were several areas outside London with proportions higher than 20%, including Blackburn, with Darwen in the northwest, 27%, Bradford in Yorkshire and Humber, Luton in east of England, Slough in the southeast, and Birmingham in the West Midlands. The Church of England is training staff to overcome male bias in a bid to ensure that by 2030, half of its leaders are female. The Church of England is turning to unconscious bias training in an effort to appoint more female bishops over the next decade. The Bishop of London, Sarah Mullaly, 57, said she hopes the training, intended to stop men hiring employees in their own image, means women will make up 50% of bishops by 2030. Coaching in the London Diocese follows the introduction of similar training in other headquarters, including Church House, the centre of C&E bureaucracy. Of the 115 bishops in the church, 25 are women. By contrast, Pope Francis has reaffirmed that the door is closed for women to become priests in the Roman Catholic Church. Mullaly, previously chief nursing officer for England, added, "I certainly think that having women as priests enables different types of conversations that probably wouldn't happen if you're a man. My background as a nurse means people often talk to me in a different way. When I was at Salisbury Cathedral, I'd stand with my fellow canons and they might get deep theological conversations, but people would come up to me and talk about their various varicose ulcers." Emma Percy, chaplain at Trinity College, Oxford, and chairwoman of Women and Church, a group that campaigns for gender equality in the church, said, "The Church of England needs to show that it is a church for all, where women are taken seriously, where women are good enough for leadership, and consequently seen as good enough for God." Linda Woodhead, professor of sociology of religion at Lancaster University, said the initiative was too little, too late, adding, "Women hemorrhaged away because of the lack of roles offered to them. Now the average congregation is 27, and the average church has only one wedding each year. That is not going to be reversed." Angry protesters have set fire to the police's favourite church in fresh demonstrations against the Chilean government. The Iglesia San Francisco de Borja in Santiago erupted in flames after activists torched it last week in the latest clashes in the capital. The building, which was built in 1876, has become the preferred place of worship for the Chilean National Police Force. The temple was built in 1876 and was handed over to Carabineros more than four decades ago. Protesters were in the Plaza Italia before they mounted their offensive on the church by throwing burning items at the building. It comes after Chile's central bank revealed last Thursday that economic activity dropped 3.3% in November, led by a slump in mining activity, and officials predicted low growth for the coming year as the country reels from the anti-government unrest. protests have rocked Chile, the world's top copper producer, for 2 months, leaving 26 dead and causing billions in losses for private businesses and public infrastructure. Demonstrations and sometimes violent riots and looting prompted the central bank in December to slash forecasts for growth, investment and demand through 2020. Mining activity measured in GDP terms plunged 5.1% in November, the central bank said, dragging overall growth downwards and marking an early sign that the protests may have a knock-on effect on the main economic driver. Chile's vast copper mines, the country produces nearly a third of the world's copper, had largely maintained production and operated normally through early November at the height of the unrest, although some mining companies had warned that protests, strikes and road blockades were taking a toll. Non-mining activity also fell by 3.1%, the central bank said, led by a fall in both commerce and the services. The bank highlighted sharp declines in transportation and tourism. Much of the capital, Santiago, with a population of 6 million, was shut for a period near the end of October as riots and looting closed streets, central squares and many small businesses, hotels and restaurants. Analysts and economists have said that since an increase in job losses would likely to be felt in subsequent months as unemployment lags behind falling economic growth. Chile's finance minister said in mid-November that as many as 300,000 jobs could be lost as a result of the protests. The cost of a basic funeral has risen to £4,417 on average, but bereaved families who opt for a budget cremation can cut the bill by nearly two-thirds, research reveals. Funeral costs have increased by 3.4% over the past year, but the price of a direct cremation, meaning without a funeral service, fell by 5% to £1,626. Just 4% of families choose a direct cremation, probably because most are unaware of the option, according to the annual cost of dying report by insurer Sun Life. While it is cheaper because the cremation itself doesn't incorporate a service, ashes are still returned to a family afterwards. Mourners are then free to arrange their own personal send-off for a loved one, whether that is a memorial service or wake, or at a price within their budget. Some 73% of families choose to have relatives cremated, accompanied by a funeral service, while 23% opted for a burial in 2019, according to the Sun Life study. The former costs £3,858 on average, while the latter costs £4,975. This includes fees for the cremation or burial, the funeral director, the doctor who certifies the death, and the minister or celebrant. However, it does not cover the amount spent on a send-off, which costs a further £2,306 on average, and includes the memorial, death and funeral notices, flowers, order sheets, limousines and a venue and catering for the wake. Fees for hiring a professional to administer an estate cost an additional £2,771 on average, all adding up to £9,493. A probe into rip-off funeral costs was launched by competition watchdogs earlier last year, while a clampdown on funeral plan providers is also in the works after the government stepped in to say they should be regulated. Sun Life found that 44% of people who recently organised a funeral were unaware of the option to have a direct cremation, which is the cheapest type available. However, once they were told what it involved, 19% of this group said they would have considered it for their relative, and 42% said that they would consider requesting it for their own funeral. Put simply, a direct cremation is a cremation with no funeral service, says Ian Atkinson, marketing director at Sun Life. The body goes straight to the crematorium to be cremated, usually in a plain coffin, at a time that's suitable for the crematoria, and the ashes are returned to the family. There is no funeral service, but the family of the deceased can then choose to have a celebration of their life wherever and whatever they want to do. This type of send-off is gaining in popularity for a number of reasons, but mainly because there's no need for extra expenses like hearses and limos, embalming, officiants fees, flowers and orders of services, making it considerably cheaper. Also, if someone dies abroad, a direct cremation can save the considerable cost of transporting the body home, but also because a direct cremation funeral can also be personal. When the service is not tied to the crematorium, it can be done exactly how the family wants it at a time and a place that is right for them. Our research shows that while the number of direct cremations is relatively low, and there are probably a few reasons why, the main one is a lack of awareness because, as we have shown in our report, once people know about them, many said they would have chosen it for the deceased, and even more say they would have one themselves. Another factor is that some funeral directors do not suggest it at all, or if only if they think the family is struggling with money. Atkinson also said that research showed that 70% of people think the deceased should pay for their own funeral, yet many don't put aside enough money to cover the entire cost. Some 37% leave sufficient funds, while 36% leave nothing. In addition, the bereaved sometimes feel they need to spend a lot on the funeral, when actually that may not have been the deceased's wishes, says Atkinson. The cost of a funeral varies significantly depending on where you live. It is priciest in London, costing £5,963 on average, followed by the South East and East of England, Yorkshire and the Humber, the Midlands and the South West. The cheapest place in the country to hold a funeral is Northern Ireland, where it cost £3,489 on average in 2019, although that represented an 8% jump in price on the year before. Prices dropped by 3.5% and 3.3% in the South West and North West England respectively, and stayed almost flat in North East England. East and West Midlands saw the biggest increase with 9.6% hike, while the cost rose by 9.4% in Wales. Sun Life found 12% of people who arranged a funeral recently struggled financially when doing so. Among them, 22% were forced to borrow from friends and family to cover the cost. 10% had to take out a loan, 25% put it on a credit card, and 15% sold belongings. Some 42% knew where the deceased would prefer a burial or cremation in advance, and 38% knew if they would choose a religious or non-religious service, suggesting that many people are reluctant to discuss such matters before they die. And finally, at school, Rosanna's homework assignment was to think of a true story with a moral, so she went home and thought about it all night. The following day, Susie raises her hand first and says, "My dad owns a farm, and every Sunday we load the chicken eggs into a basket and onto the truck. Well, one Sunday we hit a big bump in the road, and all of the eggs flew out of the basket and onto the road." The teacher asked for the moral of the story, and Susie replied, "Don't put all of your eggs in one basket." Next up was Lucy. "Well, my dad owns a farm too, and every weekend we take the chicken eggs and put them in the incubator. Last weekend, only 8 of the 12 eggs hatched. The moral of my story is, don't count your chickens before they hatch." Rosanna is the last to speak. She says, "My uncle was Pastor Jamie, who fought in the Vietnam War. His plane got shot down over enemy territory. He jumped out of it before he crashed with only a parachute, a machine gun, a machete and a bottle of whiskey. As he floated down, he drank the whiskey. Unfortunately, he landed smack dab in the middle of 100 North Vietnamese soldiers. He shot 70 of them with his machine gun, but then he ran out of bullets, so he pulled out his machete and killed 20 more. But then the blade broke, so he killed the last 10 men with his bare hands." The teacher looked in shock at Rosanna and asked if there could possibly be a moral to her story. Rosanna replied, "Don't mess with Pastor Jamie when he's been drinking."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.